Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back to The Millennial Dentist. Laura, you're probably going to be like opening up the new season because we're taking a break. We're millennials, we're working too hard. We're like, this podcasting stuff is too tiring. We're taking a break. Special guest, actually the second time we recorded, but the first time we're going to release this because we wanted to bring more people in, I guess.
It's okay. I was hurting that morning anyway, so I didn't make a lot of sense.
Exactly. Well, you know, this will be better. This will be better. So Laura Hatch, front office rocks. You've been on a lot of podcasts, but I know that a lot of our younger listeners, the last thing they're thinking about is the front office, frankly. So I'm excited about this podcast. And I know, honestly, all three of us are excited because we kind of want to take some stuff home. So why don't you introduce yourself and we'll just get the ball rolling.
Okay, good. So I'm Laura Hatch and you've told my story. No, I'm just kidding. I am the office manager of a dental office in San Diego, California. And I became the office manager when my husband asked me to run the practice because he knew nothing about how to run the front office. So I've been in dentistry now since 2003. We've opened two scratch practices, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. And I now run in San Diego a fee-for-service practice. We average 50 to 60 new patients a month. We have three general dentists. We run 15 days of hygiene. So I'm in the trenches every day. And I have a business called Front Office Rocks, which is an online training website for front office team members and cross-training, basically training for everything that has to do with the front office and the dental office.
15 days of hygiene. A hygienist is a day. So if there's you have three 5-day hygienists, basically, that you go?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Nailed it.
You got it. You got hygiene.
You go quick. And then we were getting caught up in some of that. Okay. So what'd you do before you did office managing stuff?
So my background's human resources and organizational development.
So it was a very natural transition.
Yeah. Well, kind of, except for I didn't know anything about dentistry. Like, I didn't know teeth had numbers and surfaces. I didn't know dental codes. I was married to Tony, my husband, all through dental school, and know that they didn't teach anything about front office in the 4 years of dental school or running the office or hiring and firing, all that. So it made sense that I went in office, but I really had to try to figure out how to apply what I knew to dentistry, which is not that hard, but there's not a lot of people teaching that. It's not, you know, we are a small business at the end of the day. I mean, yes, we work on teeth, but we work on people. You know, patients have to pay money for what we do and we have to sell them on it and we have to have the right team. And so I applied what I knew from prior dentistry into our dental office and now what I train with Front Office Rocks.
So why does the front office rock?
You know what? I named the name just for that because I don't think the front office gets enough love. because we're the first person that the patients talk to. We're the first impression when they walk in the front door. We're the ones that get them to schedule, get them to pay their bills, ask them to do referrals, and the last one they see on the way out. We're also the first one they'll complain about. If you go on the internet, you know, the number one complaint on the internet isn't about dentistry typically when it comes to our offices. It has to do with how the front office handled issues and scenarios. So we really rock. And I don't think that enough dentists appreciate and invest in their front office team and make sure that they're getting the customer service training and they understand the verbal skills. And we kind of just hire new employees and we throw them to the wolves. We just, here's the phones, here's the software we use, here's the insurances we belong to.
Hope you know how to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of research out there that says if you don't train an employee well in that first week to start, that's when they decide if they're going to stay with you long term. And we have a lot of turnover issues in the dental office, and I'm trying to help dentists not have so many issues in the front office, you know, with front office rocks.
Yeah, I think I was talking to actually some of my front office team today because I'm going to finally kind of convince them to convince them, right? but because, you know, and the way I was kind of talking to one of them about was I was like, look, other girl is not going to want to do this. I need you to kind of be on board with this. And this is why, you know, I spend thousands of dollars every year and tons of hours getting education. You know, like I am constantly going places. Holsinger's doing the same thing. Payman's doing the same thing. And so like we're constantly trying to be better. And I was like, ultimately, this is not me telling you that like I don't think you're doing a bad job. I don't think you're, you know, crappy about this. Cause I feel like that's the problem that I've had an issue with coming across in the past of trying to implement something like this is like, they feel like I'm, and there are some things probably, cause I probably want to do it after like they don't do handle something well. But you know, that this is like, they should be getting continuing education. Like we get that.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. And I think that, I mean, if you just look at it the right way and say, you know, we're investing in you, I want to make sure that you have access to learn. I mean, I do training all the time. I just did a training seminar on Friday and the staff, the people there were like, thank you. I never thought to say it this way or ask a patient that way. And you guys, you know, sent, no offense, but the dentist sent them up front to us and they're always nice to you. But then we get the patient who gets mad about the bill or doesn't want to schedule. And so to give them a resource to help them do better. If they look at it that way, it's not, you know, and because it's training videos online, it's not a consultant coming in standing over them, which is what a lot of people are afraid of. You know, this is just training videos to help them get better at customer service.
So yeah, go into that. How does it actually work? How does your front office rocks make the front office rock? What's the process?
So it's online 24/7. So millennials makes a lot of sense. In fact, I have a lot of new graduating dentists who pay for Front Office Rocks and they binge watch the videos themselves because they know I should know what's going on in the front office. So it's available 24/7. It's $149 a month. You can train as many staff as you want. You can train them as many times as you want. You can cross train your staff. You can do staff meetings. So the idea is to be accessible for when you need it, not have to wait for a seminar or a conference to come to town, but to be able to help your team because we deal with scenarios all the time up front that when someone leaves, they're like, gosh, you know, could we have handled that better? And now there's a resource to be able to help them, your team do better.
What's funny is that since I opened the office in December is actually I signed up for this.
That's right.
I've been paying $150 and it's been awesome. Part of the front office rocks that I love are the documents that you put together. The responsibilities part, like it's so organized and nicely written.
Wait, I don't know about this part. What is this part he's talking
about?
Yeah.
Don't tell him about it. No. We're going to keep it a secret from him.
Secret.
He has to sign up to get the resources.
So that's good enough. But so there's more than just videos though.
Oh gosh. Yeah, that's more than videos. I mean, that's part of the responsibilities and the policies, like even for, I remember interviewing or something you had for what do you say, what not, or posting an ad for wanting an assistant. And it's so cool because you can copy paste it and just change the name to your office. It's funny because I make all my interns watch the videos.
Oh, yeah?
I thought you were going to say wash the dishes.
Wash the dishes.
Well, and that the idea behind it is originally I did it for new training. So what I was thinking or what I was trying to solve is that so many dentists felt like they had to hire somebody at the front desk that had 2 years of EagleSoft experience or 3 years of Dentrix experience. And you really don't. You just need to hire somebody with great, you know, personality that can multitask, that, you know, can work well in a stressful environment. We can teach them the rest of it. So originally I started Front Office Rocks as a way to train new employees. But since then, because I don't go in office, I've tried to become a resource for dental offices. So if, you know, you were to reach out to me, in fact, I have like somebody reached out to me recently and said, how do you get on a network? Like I'm in network for a lot of PPOs. How do you get out? So I wrote a how-to document and then I put it on the site for all the dentists to have access to it. Do you guys see like there's like, there's somebody.
It almost looks
down.
Like that you're angelic. There, you're glowing.
Or you're exactly. Like doing this candlelight. Yeah.
I know. I'm the office manager that everybody's been waiting for. I have like the sun glaring down.
Glorious. Exactly.
So, yeah, that's what I'm there for. So, if a client reaches out to me and asks me a question about something, I answer it for them. But then, if something's needed by other offices, I put it on the site and share it with all the clients.
That's pretty cool. You definitely didn't say that last time. So now,
I told you I wasn't feeling that great.
You
that
were
morning.
not on your game.
And then, it was hard to put a couple words together.
So, at what point is this going to be on Netflix? All these videos.
Yeah, videos.
Well, actually, I have a bunch of videos that are on YouTube, but they're just little sample ones.
Oh.
That just give you a little bit.
Just
but if
tip.
You really want the content, you got to be a client.
Makes sense. Peyman, what have been how have you integrated it, and what have been like the things you've liked about it specifically, or that your team members have liked about it?
What I liked about it, part of the thing, like you said, when you started working for your husband, where your husband's like had no idea, and when I opened the office, I was like, okay, so what's going on? Like, what is the front desk responsible? Like, what are they supposed to do? What's the scheduler? What's the like going through the whole learning the job description, not only just job description, the way that Laura puts these videos, you make it so simple and only like 5-6 minute video. It's not like some of those where you sit down, you get bored. Like she just gets to the point and goes to the next thing, where when I started in December, what, like you said, you could binge watch this thing for a weekend, maybe be done with it. And once I start watching some of these things, it opened my eyes in a way that I was like, oh, well, I'm going to use this to my advantage, and knowing like some of the things that they could do. I didn't know there were like 7-8 different positions in a dental office. Like I had no idea. I still have one front, one back.
You'll be there one day.
I don't know if he needs to.
I wouldn't get any more if I was doing what you were doing.
Stop it too, man. If you can.
less headaches.
But you know, overall, it's been a great experience having these videos, watch it, especially with the documents that she's got, this whole section of just documents and the all this stuff that you could see. And
so one hurdle I keep putting up, and why one of the reasons I guess I hadn't just committed, because I know it's gonna be helpful, but is like, how do you suggest to doctors to when to do this? You know, I have two front people, I probably need three, but you know, I'm trying to figure out when I can make them watch it. I don't want to be like, okay, well, I'll just pay you at night, or you know, because then like, are they even watching the videos? And I guess that's the negative to online content, is that if you're not engaged in it, it's just like.
And that's probably the biggest issue that I have, is getting doctors to implement it in the practice, because you pay for it, but if you don't use it, it's not going to help you at all.
Right.
But factor, it's only $149 a month, so it's not like.
Oh gosh, yeah, the cost, you know, for what it could be is negligible. Yeah.
Exactly. And that was the idea, is I wanted it to be affordable for any dentist, brand new or in small town, big offices, doesn't matter. There's a couple different ways the clients are implementing it. What I do in my office is the girls do an hour a week, and that's the first thing they do when they come in the morning. Because this, if they don't do it first thing, they sit down, and next thing you know, they're buried in the day, and they don't get a chance to get to the videos. So we cover for each other 1 hour a week, first thing in the morning, so everybody gets a chance to do an hour. The other thing that we do, they'll do, is they'll do staff meetings. So a lot of offices, for their staff meeting or at a huddle or at a lunch, whenever they're together, the whole team will watch a video, because like he was saying, they're only 10 minutes long.
That's not a bad idea.
Your whole team can watch the video on the importance of handoffs, or what happens when a patient's upset about a bill, or whatever the issue is. And then the whole team can work on that topic, which is another way to do it. And then the third way is, we all have cancellations and no-shows. I mean, we all have openings in the schedule. And so we have an hour opening in the schedule. That's a great time to take somebody and put them on a video, because so many times we're so focused on production, but we're not focused on investing in our team. And we need to reinvest in our team, because our team needs to get better. Patients expect more out of our team. They get beat up every day between patients getting upset and insurance companies. And we need to make sure we're continually, you know.
I agree. Well, because yeah. Part of it is we get in this like rat race that we just have to produce, and we realize that we could really be doing less and making more if we were being more efficient with a lot of these things you're talking about. So, I mean, I'm all on to that.
Well, it's easier said than done.
Sure.
If you're anything like my husband, you know, if there's not a patient in the schedule or in the chair, he's freaking out because we need to get somebody in the chair. But that doesn't necessarily make us more productive. That just makes us busier. And so we do need to take time to slow down and train our team and spend time working as a team to get better. Otherwise, you're just going to be producing, and you're going to look back 20 years from now and go, wow, I'm not any bigger or better than I was when I started.
How is that working with your husband? Is it hard?
This is the big question of it. We had to learn how to do it.
Does the team hate you?
No, I'm not that dental wife. But I've earned my way. And there's a lot of spouses I'm friends with, actually, that have earned their way to be the spouse. I think there's that old idea of like the wife that used to come in and change everything and then leave and not come back for a month or whatever. Most of the spouses I know work in the practice.
I'm just imagining my wife. My wife's from like corporate America. And I feel like she would come in there and be like, off with your head a little bit, like it would be a disaster. So.
Well, or a guillotine.
It'd be good and bad, but like that's why I feel like they would be like my team has it so good and so chill right now that it would be, you know, no team members like to go from like total freedom to like regulated freedom. And so that's a hard transition to do.
I would say it's not, you know, so I have like five things to say. So I think it would be a good balance because my husband's a lot more like you, a lot chill. Things wouldn't happen if I wasn't there. The team respects me. I mean, sure, right?
Yeah, you're right.
The team respects me because of the experience and because I can do every job at that front desk. So I can do, if I can sit down and answer the phones or fill a schedule or whatever, then I get respect from that. And then lastly, the spouse is the best to have your back. You know, they're going to watch the practice. So for those that have the opportunity to work together, but we have had to separate, you know, he runs the back, I run the front. We don't second guess each other in front of the staff. We've done that once or twice. It didn't work well. It's like kind of second guessing in front of kids. You just don't do that. So,
right? Dad,
I don't want to clean my room.
No, that makes total sense.
Just a little plug for anyone who's considering having their spouse in the practice, there's a spouse group that's part of ADOM. And if you haven't ever heard of ADOM, it's the American Association of Dental Office Managers. It's a great organization to send your office managers to. And there's a group within that group called the Spouses Group. And that's a great place. That's my favorite place on Facebook to go. When I need help, I go to that group and we all kind of support each other. So if anyone's considering their spouses in the practice.
Do you feel like for new dentists who either are doing a startup like Payment's got two employees, or someone who, you know, hire or is buying a practice who's got, say, five employees or something like that. Do you think it's a good idea to be proactive in getting an office manager early on? Or do you feel like that's something that dentists should do as a role before they kind of get to a certain growth where they need an office manager?
Yeah, I don't think you need an office manager early on. I think it's something as you grow and you need the team to be managed and to be able to delegate. So, you know, I mean, I started out as the receptionist to start, and then I worked my way in doing everything. And, you know, when I had a team of three underneath, I really kind of stepped into that office manager role. You don't have to have have an office manager, but if you have a great one, it can make all the difference in the world. And if you have a really bad one, it can make all the difference in the world the wrong way. So,
no, sure.
So it really just depends on the person and the size of your office. Yeah.
Do you kind of believe more in like promoting from within or finding someone that is kind of more of an office manager role and bringing them into your practice?
I don't have one say or the other. I think there's positives to both. If you have the right employee within.
I would just like to note that I'm killing it on the questions.
I know, right?
You boys need to like get in the game.
These are good. No.
I'm on point right now.
Every question you raise is so important. And that's actually some of mine too. But keep
He's
going.
That's true. I did already interview you. So,
and back then he said he thought he needed to hire another employee. He still hasn't. So
no, I have. I have. She was there both days today. But the problem is
both days today.
No, she starts officially after the fourth, but the problem is basically I'm hiring her just to do sleep apnea stuff. So I still need a third front desk person. So now I'm growing. I need to hire more employees.
Yeah. And then you need to get front office rocks and start training them the right way.
I do need that. I'm terrified of hiring another. I'm just terrified of it a little bit.
Do you guys know that the person who stands in the way of your practice growing is typically the dentist, right? I mean, you're holding yourself back.
Or your partner.
Or your what?
Your partner.
Your partner.
If you're in
business partner.
Your business partner.
Business partner.
Not my bed partner, but my business partner.
Yeah. True. But in most cases, I mean, you know, my husband has a partner and, you know, he's a larger percentage of the practice. And if he wants something to happen, great. But if he doesn't want to implement it, doesn't want it to happen, doesn't matter what she says, doesn't matter what I say, because the owner dentist is the one who really can make or break where if the practice moves forward.
Well, and that's the problem. So like, and I want to go back to our question, but at the same time, I like this tangent a little bit. You know, what I'm struggling with in our practice, and I think a lot of younger dentists struggle with this when they're either going as associates or they buy in or they become partners or whatever, is, you know, so much of the, you know, Dad and I are 50-50 partners now as far as the practice goes, but I'm about 85% office manager, but I'm 0% boss, if that makes sense. So like so much of the team still looks, because they're with him so long, like he still has the final say. So if he's not on board with something, or not on board, maybe not the right words, but maybe just isn't as enthusiastic or doesn't like try to, you know, he's not necessarily, he's not, I mean, and especially it's my dad. So like he would never like be directly trying to get in the way of something, but if he's not necessarily moving positively towards it, it struggles to get done. And so that's definitely a hard spot for either associates trying to like help build a practice and encourage or like, or try to get, you know, some of the stuff involved or, you know, the new dentists who are buying in and that sort of thing.
Well, and I actually just wrote an article about this. It should be coming out pretty soon about how to get the team on board, whether you're an associate or you're buying a practice or you're
a
new
owner. That's a great thing. Yeah.
Because we've had associates and I've had, you know, and I think the biggest thing that I can suggest for all dentists is most of you don't communicate enough. Most of you don't take time to talk to the staff enough. Most of you don't sit down and have a meeting with the team to talk about what you want to do with the practice or what your goal is as a dentist or what you would like to implement and why. And when you don't get the team on board, if you don't explain the big purpose behind what you want to do, you know, they're just as busy as you are. At the end of the day, it's 5 o'clock. We want to go home. We've been at work all day. But if they get your bigger picture and your buy-in and one-on-one, not that your staff doesn't know you, but you know, if they get to know where do you want to take the practice and get them on board on your bigger picture, no matter if you're an associate or buying in or whatever, that's really going to help the team. Because I find that most front office teams and staff will say, we have no idea really what our doctor wants to do. I mean, he just wants us to fill the schedule. You know, like they don't really get the bigger picture. And so if you, and then the other thing is to get with each one of the employees, I think one-on-one, whenever possible, just to be able to build, you know, they need to see you. I mean, in your case, it's you and your dad, so it's a little different. But if you're an associate or you're buying a practice, they need to, you're never going to be as good as the original dentist. They're always going to compare you to the first owner, the owner that's been there the longest, whatever. They need to start to see you as your own owner or dentist or whatever, if you want them to start following whatever you're trying to implement or fill their schedule. That's a big one for the associates in my practice. When we bring an associate on, I have them clean the teeth of all my employees. I just to spend some time one-on-one in the chair.
That is brutal.
With each one of my staff.
I would not come work for you, I don't think.
But you know what? Once they go, you know, he was great. He was funny. And I heard some stories about him and he was really gentle.
They would all hate me. They would be like, they would have to get like stitches after I came their teeth.
So for you, I'd suggest taking him out for a beer.
That would be a better idea. That's a much, but now we're talking.
Exactly. But do something so they start to, otherwise you're always going to be walking in the shoes of the dentist before you.
Well, and I've really tried to like take, I don't know where I heard it or who said it. I wish I could give them credit, but basically someone said, it may have been like a book I read, but they basically were saying it from as a leader standpoint, ultimately, especially in like as an owner dentist, everything is about communication and everything that they do that ticks you off, that bugs you, that they don't do right. If you don't communicate to tell them what they're doing wrong, ultimately it all falls back on you. And so I've really tried to like start to look at things on a day-to-day basis of like, you know what? That's my fault. It's my fault that this happened because I haven't set expectations or made it clear enough what I intend or want. And so I think that's a good way to look at it too.
And that's the good and bad. I think that for dentists, if I could give you any advice, if you think you're communicating enough, you're probably not communicating more. And don't just communicate the negative. Communicate positive too. You know, the employees aren't motivated by money alone. They just a high five. Great job today. You know, mm-hmm. You really handled that patient well. That means so much more than, you know, here's $5 for a bonus game or something. You know, the patient or the staff just want to hear from you. And I find most dentists don't communicate enough. They don't talk to their employees one-on-one enough. And if you think you are, you're probably not.
One other thing, I like to mention this, and I think this a lot of our listeners can relate to this, corporate dentistry, along with office managers in corporate dentistry right now. When I started working in the corporate, my relationship with the office manager was, we got so much connected from the beginning that the office just turned around and the production started just going up crazy. Yet it was again with the communication that I didn't go like, oh, well, she's not a doctor. I'm not going to listen to her. It is so common. And I'm so sick of so many young dentists arguing and complaining about office managers in the corporate world they work at or different offices that they work at, that it just makes them so weak. Well, why don't you communicate or talk to them or sit down and bring that up? Because it makes the practice ill in a way that they're feeling so, oh, well, the office manager is making the treatment plan. I think, like you said, it all boils down to sitting down and communicating with the team, even if the practice owner is not on a, like, they don't know what's going on. Bring that up in the meetings or just talk to them, bring it, because that was a very, very shifting moment, transformation for me, because as soon as the relationship with me and the office manager was so much better, I started doing so much more dentistry that I would have never had the opportunity, because of the fact that I would tell her, hey, let's, like, I would go to the CE, come back, and I talk to her, like, this is how I see the treatment plan, this is how we could work. And again, it was just, I still talk to her, Melinda, she's one of my, I mean, great influencers of what I do. And that's a big, big point with a lot of listeners I want to emphasize. And what do you think? Like, what do you see that corporate dentistry with the whole office managers right now?
Yeah, so I have 2 points on that with corporate dentistry. I agree 100% with what you're saying. The other thing I would say is, from my years of experience, sometimes dentists kind of walk in with a chip on their shoulder. Like, well, you have to fill my schedule.
Agreed.
And that is not going to win over the staff. You are right. Not going to get your schedule filled. You are not going to get the assistants to support you and be there for you. And the hygienists are not going to make your life easier. So go into it with, what can I do for you? You know, what can I do to make your life easier? How can I help you? You're going to be way different than probably most of the dentists that have been before you. And then the other thing I think with corporate, and not to, you know, talk about training again, but corporate offices have the money to invest in training the team. And a lot of corporate offices, you don't answer the phone until you've been through their training, and you don't talk to patients about money. And a lot of, you know, small dental offices can't afford that and don't do it. And so that's where, you know, we need to make sure that we are investing in the team if we're going to compete against corporate, which is a whole different subject, but that was made me think about that when you brought that up.
Well, I think what you talked about, the chip on your shoulder, that I can't, that is so huge, man. Because when you graduate dental school, like, yes, you've done something, you're something, but you are stupid if you don't go in there and listen to the hygienist that's been there for 30 years and think that she doesn't have something to offer. Like, I mean, and I, that was hard for me to learn. That's hard for everybody to learn, because you do, it's like, you want to, like, respect can be gotten a lot of ways, you know, and, you know, you can rule as a dictator, or, you know, you can earn the respect by, you know, being humble and learning from them. And man, they can make your life so much easier. That's a huge part of my success early on, is really a solid team around me, honestly.
Well, I think that a lot of associate dentists or dentists going in, they, I don't want to say butter up to or brown nose, but they go to the owner doctor, right? Or the one that's retiring, or the, and that's fine, but he's more than likely, he, she, set in their ways. They're just looking to, you know, grow the practice, but they're not looking for new changes and all that. I would go to the team and find out what their thoughts are and what hasn't been implemented yet and what ideas do they have. And you're going to get a following if you do that, versus, you know, complaining to the doctor about the front office team and how they're not filling your schedule, because, you know, that doctor, as much as he may care, he doesn't know how to fix that issue either. So I definitely, you know, go to the team.
So I got a question about, as far as with the front office, how does the dentist keep tabs on making sure they're not stealing from you?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Embezzlement.
I mean, like, do you have any advice on that? Like,
that's more of an issue too, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, 30% of dental offices get embezzled, 30% or so.
Yeah. I think it's even higher than that. It's just, they haven't been caught yet. So first of all, I'll say right now that there's an embezzlement specialist that I recommend, and his name's David Harris, and I've watched him speak multiple times. So I'm not an expert in this area, but from what I've observed, my thoughts and what I've learned from him is that first and foremost, you need to make sure you have systems in place. There are so many dental offices that this is where we're talking about. Like, you got, you know, new dentists should watch the videos and know that at the end of the day, we need to run an end of day report, and your deposit report needs to match.
We're currently running zero reports at the end of the day. So.
Okay. So how do you know? How do you know what you've collected and if it matches? And what happens is, from what I've learned over the years that I've been watching this or learning about it, that the people who embezzle against dentists are not new employees. They are not somebody you just hired that came in to embezzle against you. They are current employees who've been with you for a long time, who have gotten free rein because now you trust them. So they have access to the bank account and access to the you know, checkbook and access to the, they do all of the data entry of all the insurance claims.
It's like the temptation
And you know, it's not the temptation necessarily. It's that they be, they start to feel like they're due, or they have some sort of a big issue in their family. Maybe, you know, I don't know. They something happens and now they need the money. Or, you know, just so you guys know, every employee in your office thinks that you guys make $1 million, that every dime that you guys make goes out into your family. They don't get what it costs.
My
to
Porsche.
Run a dental office. Yeah. Your Porsche, your boat, you know, they don't get the school loans that you have and the debt you had to take. And so,
the fact that we run 60% overhead or some stupid number.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just on the embezzlement ideas, to not just go, oh, it must be the new employees. It happens. And that's how it happens so high, because if you're not having some sort of checks and balances, like in my office, three different people have to do the end of day. It goes from one person for one part of it to another person for another part of it. And the final person. So that way there's three sets of eyes on it every night. So yes, they could work together and you know, have a coalition to do it. But when they know somebody else is looking at it, when they know that the doctor is balancing it or somebody in your office is balancing what's deposited, like all of the little systems that we have in place can help eliminate it. Now, from what I've learned from listening to David Harris, it's not like you see a bank account statement, you go, oh, they must be embezzling. Usually you can tell somebody's is doing this to you because they have a change in personality. They start acting odd. They start acting different. They start acting suspicious. It's the personality that gives away something that they're doing that's different, that gives you the sign something must be going on. And then that's usually how they give it away. Isn't that interesting? Like I wouldn't have never expected that.
They're always in the Golden Crown Buffet.
The candlestick in the kitchen, Mr. Green.
is some of these embezzlement, is it like a seminar or something that we could learn, like how some of these like top five, for example, that we could prevent?
Yeah, I don't know all the specifics about it. The name of
maybe we'll get him on the podcast.
Look up David Harris. He's out of Canada and I write for him sometimes in his newsletter that goes out, and I can't remember for the life of me the name of his newsletter, but I've seen him speak a couple times. He actually does a seminar in like the local study clubs and branches where he talks just to dentists and spouses and shows you the way people get away with embezzling. So at least we're kind of on top of it. He won't teach the team, of course. We don't want him doing that. But but I just look up David Harris. He's out of Canada.
How to avoid being caught by embezzlement.
Get on his newsletter, because he sends out, and then he does, here's the funny story about that. He does the top 100 embezzler pictures. They're jail pictures, you know, like when they get caught. And I was speaking a couple months ago, and I write for his magazine sometimes for his newsletter. And one of my employees is like, we have a big problem. And he had just put out the top 100 pictures, and my picture ended up on the list because I'm a writer for him. And he had that as like,
that's awesome.
So my team's freaking out because they're like, you're on the top embezzler list. And I'm like, don't tell my husband. That's how I buy all my shoes.
Yeah.
I'm married to the dentist. Of course,
I'll give you a little bit too.
Yeah, exactly. So he ended up taking my picture down.
I think a lot of older dentists, and I've noticed that, you know, because I'm very transparent and I have no problem being like, talking about money, talking about production, collections, whatever. And I think a good thing about that, and I think it's good for dentists to be open with their teams and be open with like, look, here's where we're at. Here's where our numbers are. Here's our goals. Here's our overhead, so that they realize that, yeah, this isn't like I'm just printing money over here and I'm not giving you like there's percentages, there's systems, and there's, but me, because to me, like ultimately, like I want it to be where the team knows, okay, this is our goal, this we want to hit, this is our overhead. And guess what? If we do better than this, like I am all the more willing to bonus you, that everybody shares and when we win, and you know, and that sort of thing. And so I think that that kind of mindset of like, you know, we don't want them to know anything is a little bit of an old school kind of thing. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. We have a meeting once a year with my team and we show them. Now, I mean, for anyone listening to this, you're not going to go, here's exactly what so-and-so makes, and here's how much
sure.
I take home. You're giving a general idea. So insurances cost us this, and overhead is this, and supplies are this. Because especially if you have a team of younger staff, they don't have a concept of what it's like to run a business. This may be one of their first or second jobs. They don't. And so they think when they give you a stack of, you know, checks, that's like $5,000 that you're just taking that home tonight. And they don't understand, you know, what it costs to earn that money. So I definitely recommend doing that.
Do you deal with all the like salaries, raises, that kind of thing? Or is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
How do you, cause like one thing I've thought about doing is like, when like a hygienist comes to ask for a raise, like, do you use a formula to kind of calculate that, to kind of show them like, look, here's why I can't give you a raise, because like, this is what you're producing and doing, versus like, you know, I would love to give you a raise, but like, it just, you know, financially doesn't make sense because this is what you're doing. So you're kind of tapped out where you're at. I mean, do you do something like that? Cause we've kind of struggled with that. That's like, and dad had gotten a really bad habit of that. Cause it was like, oh, well, just tenure got you a raise. So it's like, you know, it just keeps going up. Right. So talk about.
Yeah, you definitely want to make sure. And this is where, again, if you think you're communicating enough, you're probably not. You shouldn't get to a point where the staff's coming to you to ask for a raise. They should know. I mean, it should be clear, like, this is what you need to do to get to the next level, or this is what you need to produce to earn a raise, or this is what you need to do to get a bonus. And if they're coming to you, whenever my staff comes to me, if they come and say, I think I'm due for a raise, I ask them, what are you doing to earn that? Like, what have you done in addition to your job, or what have you taken on more of? Because I'm not just going to give you a raise because you moved into a bigger apartment or because you've been here for X amount of time. You need to earn it. You know, if you help us make more or lower our overhead or produce more or whatever your practice is doing, then you earn it. But we're not just going
to have to work for
here.
It, girl.
Exactly.
Get
exactly.
It, girl.
Along those lines, what are your thoughts on, like, if an employee is seeking employment elsewhere and they've gotten an offer that is higher than what you're paying them currently? Do
Kick
you just
them
let
curb.
Them go then? Do you give them more money? I mean, what do you?
Yeah. You know, if somebody comes to me and
asking
their
for a friend.
Yeah. You know what? Then if they're doing that now, if you turn around and you offer them the same or more, they're going to turn around and do it again. Right. So I personally.
Unless they're underpaid,
I mean,
though, right? Like, unless they're.
Yeah, but if they're already interviewing and got another job offer, then there's no loyalty to you. They
That's
should
true.
Have come to you well before that and
That's
said, hey, what can I do to earn more? What can I do to get a raise? How can I, if they haven't done that and they just come to you and say, I have another job, they didn't, you know, I expect certain things from my employees too. And if you feel like you're not being paid well, then we need to talk about it. And I'll tell you how you can make more. If you do more for the practice, I'll pay you more. I have no problem with that. But you're not just doing it because the guy down the street will pay you more. And that's the problem we get into in this industry, that we feel that we have to hire people with dental experience. So somebody's at your practice making X amount an hour. They think they're underpaid, so they go somewhere else, and somebody else thinks they need dental, you know, a certain amount of experience. So they hire them away from you and pay them more. Then they turn around a couple of years later and they do it again. And next thing you know, we have an industry of overpaid employees that are just job hopping for more money. I would rather take somebody who's a hostess or works at a bank or you know, works retail and pay them less and train them, and they'll be a long-term loyal employee with you if you invest in them from the beginning, versus trying to hire away from competition because, you know, they've got experience with, you know, Dentrix or Eaglesoft or whatever the case may be. So if somebody's leaving me and they haven't sat down to talk to me about how to make more and they've got another job offer,
bye,
here you
Felicia.
Go. Here's your,
bye, Felicia.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. I actually have, I don't know, I couldn't tell you how many employees running around Scripps, ex-employees running around San Diego right now that are working at other dental offices that are making significantly more than they made with me, that aren't working for me anymore for a reason. And these other dentists hired them because they used to work for us. Well, if they were any good or good enough, they'd be working for me, you know? And so they're making, I mean, I know we have a couple of employees that got a $10 raise after they left my office. And it's like, more power to you, you know, because my salary is not that high because of, you know, I'm not overpaying for employees.
$10 raise per hour?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people are desperate, though, because some people freaking suck at hiring people. So like, if they find, I mean, they'll... You know, I think some people, they just don't know how to seek talent. So like, if they think there's talent, they will, you know, grab it and overpay for it.
Yeah, I've been through seven people in 2 months, seven girls. It was just horrible.
But that's not a bad problem. Well,
that's actually
you have high expectations, and maybe just your screening, you know. Or they, you know.
No, I think my problem was the. Well, I had a few problems. One of them, I didn't drug test. That was one.
Second, that's true.
I had a problem. Working interviews. I didn't do working interviews. That was another problem.
Because everyone looks good in an interview, but they don't all look good in the office.
Exactly. And that's the thing where we had problem. Like, I don't even, it's bad. But I mean, now I'm very happy. Like I said, I have a very good solid front and a solid back.
Well, and what I would suggest, a lot of this is when you get out of dental school, you just feel like you need to hire somebody with that experience. But, you know, you don't. I mean, you can teach them. I didn't know it. You know, you get the right person who's a hard worker
But it's hard though. When you have a new office, see, I tried doing that. Like I thought, okay, well, I'm gonna just train them because they all suck. And then I started hiring right out of school, and then I was like, oh my god! Like with a new practice where I was doing everything, I really could take advantage of having somebody to know at least tooth number three's upper, like maxillary, instead of somebody just I think it's good when you can train them at the same time of having established practice or some people that know what they're doing. Like for me, getting them right out of school and start training them with the new practice and all the struggle that I had to deal with, I think it was almost out of question. Couldn't do it.
That's an interesting point, though.
Yeah, well, and some of it is also, too, how, don't take this the wrong way, but how good are you at hiring and how good are you at, right? Because if you get the right person, who has the right, not, you know, and it's hard to do. Well,
and teaching, right? Like you can not only, cause like if you got to have time to teach them, you may have hired the right person, but if you don't have time to teach them and help them, then.
Well, and there's enough resources out there too, just for anyone, you know, not just for Office Rocks. Exactly. Not just that, but you know, Eaglesoft Dentrix, they have training videos. I mean, if you invest in their training, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, they learn that software, whatever you have, that's going to help them immensely. And they're, you know, starting out to help you. But if you don't bring a trainer in, like so many dentists don't even bring a practice management trainer in to teach them the software. They just say, here you go. And you know, that runs your practice. So make sure you're investing in the training.
YouTube.
What's that? YouTube. Yeah.
Open Dental does. I have Open Dental and they have all their training on YouTube. So anytime the girls ask me, I already have a support with them, but every time they ask me a question, I'm like, YouTube it.
Yeah.
Cause it's very easy to find out some of this
well,
stuff.
And that's really smart to do because you're teaching them how to solve their problems on their own.
How to solve your problem. Do not come tell me what you need to do. Like, figure it out.
Yep.
You know? That's the thing.
I teach my girls to go to there's online help with Eaglesoft, and you just plug in your question and they'll give you the answer, print it out, put it in your folder, and you have it for next time.
Question for you.
Yes. Bring it.
What's next for Laura Hatch? Have you ever thought about taking this outside of dentistry? Like, I had a buddy yesterday who he actually is doing some roll-ups on some podiatry clinics, some feet stuff. And he was like, man, freaking front office stuff is – we've been talking a lot back and forth about office managing and like managing office and small business and that sort of thing. And I was like, you know, I bet your stuff would probably be just as good like even as it is now with dentistry, like how to do, you know – with scheduling. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I've thought about it for sure. In fact, I do have some clients that are in other industries. I have a few chiropractors. And so basically they replace the word crown with straightening or whatever they do in the, you know, so I've thought about it. I have other things I'm pursuing. Like we have the back office to still clean up. So I'm actually working on back office rocks at the moment. So once I get the dental office part figured out, then maybe I'll go into other industries. But yeah, I've thought about it. I mean, cause customer service is customer service and systems and policies and training a team and the importance of it, it could be done. I mean, since I've started Front Office Rocks, it's so frustrating to go out in the real world and get really crappy service because I just want to like smack them and say, do you understand how much better you could be if you actually treated the client right? So, yeah, I would love to, it's just not enough time in the day. I'm in the middle of finishing a book and speaking and being, you know, on all these wonderful podcasts and spreading the word and then, you know, back office. But yeah, there's definitely roles in the future that I could, different areas I can get into.
Would you recommend like the clinical staff watching these Front Office Rocks videos too, or is it just isolated just to the front office?
No, yeah, I recommend for cross training. Couple of ideas as to why. If you have anybody in the back that potentially answers phones, you want them trained on how to answer the phones. So like my dental assistants are trained to be backups on the phones, like over if we're having a meeting or lunch. We actually cross train everybody and the staff on handoffs and huddle and greeting patients. There's a bunch of videos in there about that. And then we also train, we actually cross train like our hygienists. They watch the case acceptance videos, like how we, what we do in the consults with the patients. So they understand the questions patients ask after the hygienists hand them off to us. We have some of our new associates watch some of the videos. So, you know, they're not there. It's $149 a month. You can train as many people as you want. So I definitely recommend cross training with the videos.
This has been great. You finally convinced me. I'm signing up. Pam, you got any more things you want to add?
I want to sign up too.
I'm going to ask her to get a discount since I've been a member for 6 months.
The problem is I'd ask too. I'd be like, can we get like a free month for our listeners? But the price is pretty cheap already.
No, yeah, that's a pretty good
deal.
More
than 6 months. It's June. Wait, I just, almost 7-8 months. That's good. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you need it with the turnover you're having, trying to find out.
Exactly.
Shots fired.
It's funny because my website is $149 a month and I priced it like that so it wouldn't be expensive. You know, my husband and I, when we built our practice, he's like, I'm going to strangle somebody if they say to me, it's only one crown's worth more. And he's like, do you know how many crowns I have to do to pay for all of this? So it's not even the price of a filling is what the cost is. And the idea is, and you can come and go as you want. It's month to month. You just end the contract whenever you want. And I find that a lot of the dentists, they'll come on for 6 months a year, then they'll go off. They'll come back 2 months later because they have new employee. They'll go off. I mean, you know, it's there because we have a lot of turnover in the demo.
I should just Venmo you right now.
There you go.
Well, thanks so much, Laura. We really appreciate
it. Awesome.
We're glad we got to do this again.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And if anybody wants any other questions for me, just go to Ask Laura on my site. I'm available to help. So I wish everybody luck with their adventures.
Thank you, Laura.
Yeah. I love it.
Thank you for helping us to work smarter and not harder. You
know, boom.
Don't get embezzled against.
Yeah.
Don't get embezzled against. That's the final thought.
Peace out, everybody. Next time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.